Pastor Vincent is on holiday, and he needed. Yeah, we're just happy he can take some time off his family. Before the message, today the mission committee like us together to recognize the coming short-term mission team being sent to Grand Rapids in Manitoba, again to minister to the Aboriginal children and young people. And I've been telling a colleague and other people that this is a wonderful thing that a church can do, because those people are the most neglected. And the love of Christ, as God intends, should fall upon those who really being neglected. And I'm glad our church for at least 2 years, probably more, been sending teams to love them and to care for them and to bring the God's presence and blessing to them. So this morning we'd like to commission our team again and pray for them. And I want to know if I think some of them are in this service, and if you are, and in a moment I'd like to invite you to come and be recognized and be prayed for. Okay. So that they are having a wonderful ministry ahead, but also a very needed prayer kind of ministry. And we're going to commission them to this special task in the service of Christ our Lord. Okay. So I wonder if the mission committee is arranged to have them come to do sharing, or is there such arrangement before we pray? Yeah. If you are here, a part of the team, they're going to Grand Rapids soon, in a few weeks. Would you please stand? Yeah. Oh, yes, wonderful. They are here, wonderful. May I invite you to come to the front so we can pray for you? And now, any of the mission committee, oh, Catherine, you're part of the mission committee, yeah. Would you have any thing you want to say before we pray for them? Okay. Please come. Yeah, please come. Yeah, stand on the platform. On, yeah, wherever you can find space on my two hands. Okay. Just pray for them. Okay. Yes. Yes. I think we have more people this time. Or about the same. We have more people. One more people. Wow. Yeah. Every year, one more love, okay? We send to people who really need Jesus, okay? I invite you to stand, okay? And as they bow, may you stretch out your hands, as I do, and lay your hands upon them and pray for them, okay? May God's love and protection be upon them, okay? Let's pray. Join me in prayer, okay? Dear Lord God, in the name of our brothers and sisters in this church, Lord, we like to commission our dear brothers and sisters to this wonderful and very needed task. We like to stretch our hands and to recognize your presence in their lives, and to recognize your will and your divine guidance and protection to be upon every one of them on this trip. And we want to pledge to you our prayers and our encouragement and support. And we ask the Holy Spirit, may your presence and guidance and empowerment strengthen them even now, before the trip, during the trip, and after the trip. And may your work be done through them, in them, and may they be completely enabled to fulfill God's will in the service of our Lord Christ. Almighty God, we ask you look with favor upon them, and reaffirm their commitment to follow Christ and to serve in his name. We pray that you give them courage and patience and vision, and strengthen them in all that they do, in every way as they witness to those children through loving acts, through caring, teaching, and may you be with them, that they may, the children there and the people there, may again feel afresh of the presence and love and the truth of Christ Jesus that will set them free. O Lord Christ, may you be the beginner, the fulfiller, and the completer of this mission trip. And Lord, may you bring every heart through our beloved brothers and sisters here to you, Lord, to the throne of grace, to the throne of salvation, to the throne of Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, so much we can be part of their trip, part of their journey, and to be together with them in the Spirit. Lord, we ask for your favor, we ask for your grace, and your power be upon them. For we ask all this in the powerful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. I think they'll be headed for the journey in a couple of weeks, right? 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Soon. Yeah. Great. Okay. Now, please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 4. I start the messages on the book of Acts in the Chinese service. So the book of Acts tells the story of the early church. And it's a wonderful, exciting, and powerful story. And the work, the continual work of our Lord Christ Jesus. The writer, physician Dr. Luke, after he wrote the Gospel of Luke, telling the wonderful deeds and acts of our Savior, Lord Christ Jesus, he continued to write the continuation of the Savior's work through the Holy Spirit upon the disciples and apostles. And it's a wonderful, wonderful story. I hope you have studied and you will restudy that book again. It will lift up your spirit and to increase your faith in Christ's work even today. You know. So our key words is in Acts chapter 4 and 31 to 33. Okay, so let's read these several verses again together. Okay, after they pray, let's join me as we read. Okay, after they pray, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared with everything they had. Okay. And then verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Okay. I want to talk to you today about church in Acts, and also the church in us. Okay. Because church is not a building, but what? People, redeemed people of God. People that are redeemed by the precious blood and salvation work of Christ Jesus. So we want to study this passage, these several Greek verses, and to consider the church in Acts as how we can live out the church in us. Okay. Now, a lot of people look for a great church today. Many people are searching for a great church. And a great church in the minds of many people could mean that it's a church that has many programs and minister to all people in all ages. And a great church could also mean to a lot of people, maybe on your mind, having spacious, wonderful building facilities, or having upbeat contemporary music ministry with a dynamic worship team. By the way, I think our worship team, they're doing great. I think ever since I've been in this church more than a year now, I pray and I'm glad to see how God's been blessing them and equipping them. And Pastor Winston is a wonderful pastor, colleague. Anyway, so what do you look for in a great church? On your mind, like many people, they may think a great church has dynamic pastor who are authors of many books and renown in the world, can preach a dynamic message, and the congregation of people who are very outgoing and warm, friendly to first-time comers. And to some, great church meaning having great coffee, cappuccino maybe, that can you bring freely, refill free, you know. Many people are seeking out great church and because of those many features. But I studied the Word of God and I discovered God is also searching for great churches. The eyes of the Lord, you know, search across throughout our land looking for great churches. But the great churches that he seeks is not one necessarily has coffee, cappuccino, state of art, beautiful building, enormous facilities and worship team, or tons of programs, or even a whole team of renowned preachers, you know. Because it's not what the Word of God tells us as he begins telling the story about the early church. Because in God's eye, the church that is great is the church that humbly and wholly, totally acknowledges their need of the Lord Savior and their dependence on the Holy Spirit and to seek out God's awesome face and his mighty hands. Now, in God's eyes, the church that is great does not come by the works of man or by our efforts and doings of man, but it's brought about by the total commitment and obedience to the Holy Spirit of the living God that's powerfully seen living inside every redeemed believer and changed by the life-changing gospel and the power of Jesus. You know, in Acts 4, you know, we see a powerful example of a great church. This church in Jerusalem was great in the things of God because God was in their midst. You know, it is my belief the scriptures that explain the greatness of the church in Acts is the same greatness God seeks for churches today. And even in NCAC, particularly even in our English congregation. In this passage, we'll see that we desperately need, if we are going to become a great church for the kingdom of God. Okay? So we're going to see what makes the church great and what we desperately need, God's enablement and the Holy Spirit's empowerment to seek God's face. The first thing we notice in Acts, church in Acts, the early church, they had great prayer, okay? In verse 31, we'll just focus on this wonderful couple of verses, okay? The early church had great prayer, okay? Because in verse 31, chapter 4, it says, after they pray, okay? The foundation and the strength of a great church is great prayer. Okay? After the prayer. As we study the passages before and the context around it, we take note that the apostles endure persecution for proclaiming the gospel, telling people about Jesus, and ministering to the needy in the name of Jesus. And the religious Jewish leaders, the Pharisees, the priests, the temple priests, they threatened them and told them, stop speaking about Jesus. When apostles came back to their friends, their brothers and sisters, to be with the other disciples, what did they do? They did not call for a membership meeting. They did not immediately call a board meeting or to brainstorm a committee meeting to talk, to discuss a plan or how to handle the threat in the midst of hardship. In the midst of pressure and difficulties, the whole church went to prayer. If you look at verse 24, when they heard this, okay, when other believers, disciples, and other members of the church, brothers and sisters, when they heard the report of the apostles, how they are being persecuted, how the religious leader tried to stop them from proclaiming the name of Jesus, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Okay? Because the early church knew that in order to persevere and stand firm against challenges, threats of their enemies, they need to approach the throne of God in prayer. And we will do well If we remember their example and follow accordingly, okay, because we too have ultimately the same spiritual enemy, Satan. Satan and his evil influences in the world, they want nothing less than destroying the church and to torn and to tear the church apart. Our spiritual enemy comes against us with power and spiritual forces. If you have been following the messages of Pastor Vincent, he mentioned again and again about spiritual dark forces that come to attack us and to steal our joy, to steal our work, to steal our strength to glorify Christ. Okay. They are the vicious force, and the church needs the divine, heavenly, supernatural power of God in our midst. If we are going to stand firm and conquer and move forward in the kingdom of God and to bring light into darkness. Now, the early church was great because they were a church of prayer. It's through prayer that the awesomeness, the awesome presence of God, the grace and power of Almighty God is experienced. Okay? That's where the battles were won. It's not in our hands fighting, but on our knees praying. If we are going to be a great church, if the English congregation, you wish one day to be great for the God in the kingdom of God, to stand strong and tall to fulfill the vision of God in this land, you need to become prayer warriors. I'm glad in our church there's a team of prayer warriors. Through newsletter and emails I receive from them and see and witness their unity and their strength in being the prayer warriors. Okay. If we're going to be a great church and to see the Spirit of God moving and to see life being changed from darkness to light, from death to life, and every believer is being discipled in Christ to be strong Christian for God, we must be a church of great prayer. And that's the reason we started this monthly prayer time, right? After service, everyone was encouraged and invited to the social hall, right? To have a time of prayer, to have a time of connection with each other and to connect with the presence of Holy God. The Lord Jesus will build his church whenever his people will seek him and call to him in prayer. Without fervent spirit and power prayer in this place, we will grow spiritually ill and eventually die. So my challenge and my urge to you is, church, may we commit to be a people of prevailing prayer in Christ's name. Amen? So that's the first thing. Member of this church, every brother and sister in the congregation, you need to take heed. Okay? Church in Acts had great prayer. Church in us, we need to rise up and have prayerful life, prevailing prayers in our life. But secondly, we notice in these verses that the early church, the church in Acts, they had great presence. Because in verse 31, the second phrase is said, after they pray, the praise where they were meeting was shaken. Okay? A great church has the powerful presence of God. And a lot of churches need a great shaking by the presence of God. You know? It's obvious. The church, what the church experienced is not earthquake, but a presence of the Holy God. Somehow people felt the strong presence of God. You know, theologian Stanley Horton commented this chapter. He said, after they prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken by the Spirit, not by the earthquake, indicating the mighty move of God. So it's the presence of God through the Spirit of God moving into that place, covering and surrounding and interfering every believers who knew and prayed, and brought about this mighty demonstration of the power of God and the authority of God. So churches that strongly dare to say that we need a mighty shaking of the presence of the Holy Spirit among us is a great prayer, is a great church. You know, this shaking that came to the disciples reassured them that God was in fact present with them. So every Sunday as you come to church, would you pray and ever wonder and invite God to be here? And that the presence can be strongly felt by you and everyone? Even before the worship team start music and start before we open our mouth and sing praises to God? That's a wonderful, wonderful thing as we prepare ourselves to worship God, the Lord. You know, there are many beautiful church buildings throughout our land. They're absolutely empty of the presence of God. You know, the most desperate activity of a church is corporate prayer today. When I became a Christian, prayer meeting was a highlight of the week. 80% to 90% of church members, brothers and sisters, gather on Wednesday night and pray. And we felt the presence of God linger around the place in such unspeakable manner. But today, if you count churches, even churches with great buildings, large or small, the least attended activity of a church by believers and church members is what? Prayer meetings. Nobody pray anymore. The reason in our church, the English congregation, moved their prayer meeting, corporate prayer meeting, weekday, into small groups is to encourage people to meet and pray. But are we doing that? I hope we are doing that. Okay. When a church, when a congregation that has not the presence of God in their midst is a church that's lifeless, powerless, without strength, and cannot stand against any attack of the enemies and the seductive power of the world. When a church begins to set itself to pray and seek the Lord in season and out of season and then in due season, then the mighty shaking in our spirit, in our whole, down to our core, will come. Okay? That's when people respond to the call of God. That's when people rise up and serve the Lord. That's when people rise up and forgive the wrongs people may do to them, and to love their enemies, and to reach out to the most neglected and bring people into the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, along with a great shaking, the early church, the church in Acts, they had great infilling. Because Dr. Luke continued to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the early church, and he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So after the praise, the whole place was shaken by the presence of God, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had great infilling. Okay? Believers knew if they were to continue to preach in Jesus' name, to demonstrate wonderful signs and blessings, to confirm the word, to lead people to understand the salvation, to have a saving knowledge of Christ Jesus, they would need the divine power to equip them and enable them, because it's not what human can do. Okay? Now this particular moment came well after the day of Pentecost. If you look back at chapter 2, when they had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit indwell in them, okay, and permanently indwell in their lives. But it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. What does that mean? You know, to every believer we were given and we were blessed with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a deposit, an eternal deposit, and also the continual presence of Christ Jesus even after he ascended. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What the will of the Lord? Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the word being used in the original is continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. OK? Okay. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Be joyful, be prayerful. Okay. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians need to have fresh and continuous infilling, a renewed feeling of the Holy Spirit to help them, to enable them, to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, to know how to apply the word of God in their lives, in their challenges and opportunities, to be equipped to carry on with the ministry of Jesus. So we need that new challenges too. We need that trial opportunities. We need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower our congregations, our church. Our president, our Christian Mission Alliance president, Reverend David Hearns, he often mentioned, the church needs a renewed emphasis on the work of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit. And he exhorted us, workers in Christian Mission Alliance, pastors, missionaries, we must diligently preach it again, teach it again, pray for it again, experience it again. That's his major theme of our president, to remind us of this wonderful truth. Why do we need that? Because Jesus in Acts 1:8 said, but you, the disciples, will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's important because we have been given a divine commission, a heavenly task, a task that no leaders, no country on this earth can give you, okay, can compare. To proclaim a divine message, to carry out a divine ministry, and we need a divine power to fulfill this purpose. We are on a mission to rescue souls from men and women, children and young people from sins, from death, from depression, from the dark forces of the world, from total hopelessness. Okay, we are on a mission to change life, to make the world a better place. That's why teams were sent and are sent and will be sent throughout by churches all around this land, all throughout this land, to the most neglected people. Okay, because with this divine mission, okay, we have a spiritual enemy who's fighting us, who try to stop us with deception, with destructive power, and we must have this infilling of the Holy Spirit continuously in order to stand firm. Okay, and then fourthly, the early church, they had great boldness. Okay, a great church has great boldness. They are not afraid. They are not afraid of challenges. They are not afraid of opportunities. Okay, the only thing they are afraid is sin. They had great boldness. Okay, the church in Acts, they experienced a great boldness by the Holy Spirit in verse 31. And they spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed, the whole place was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. You know? Because God indeed had answered their prayers. What was the cry of their heart? If you look back to verse 29, they asked the Lord, Lord, now consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Okay? We must remember the apostle has just been persecuted and the Christians had been opposed because they speak about Jesus, because they demonstrate, they minister to the people in Jesus' name. Okay? They try to stop the gospel of Christ from going forth. Okay? But the Lord Jesus, before he ascended back to heaven, told his disciples, go and preach the gospel to all creation. Okay? Witnessing, be my witnesses. Okay? What would they do? You know? In verse 19, Peter and John replied, as they faced this opposition and persecution and being told to stop, they said, what is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. In other words, we must pledge our submission to the Almighty God. Today, you know, in your journey of life, you have encountered many things. And one thing I think you share the same. You notice a lot of people afraid of people. I was in Alaska, and I talked to a man who lived there for 48 years, among the remote, right? Alaska, right? Remote in the mountains. I said, "What do you afraid the most?" His answer was, "What I'm afraid the most is human beings, is people." I said, "Why?" "Because they're unpredictable, and they often think of harmful things." I'm not afraid of bears or big moose, but he's afraid of people. But I said, "You talk to me." "Yeah, but I need to talk to people," he said. "I need to go over this barrier, but I need to remind people." Okay. He has boldness. Okay. Apostle returned to other disciples, the scripture continues to say, began to raise up a mighty prayer to God. Okay. So the result of a mighty shaking by the Holy Spirit, a result of a mighty infilling of the Holy Spirit, comes boldness. Now, if you feel you are weak to speak to people about Christ, if you feel you are easily scared by people of this world who try to threaten you and try to take away all the blessings God has been giving you, could it be because your lack of prayer, your lack of dependency upon God? For believers who rooted themselves in the Word of God and depend themselves upon the Lord of God and keep walking in the Spirit of God and the infilling Holy Spirit, in their heart, they experience boldness. A holy divine boldness. Now, boldness, let me clarify, it's not arrogance. It's not being rude. It's not being harsh on people. It's not being speaking loud. Or pastors speak loud on Sunday because you are sitting and you are inactive, in an inactive mode. So speaking loud is a mean to help you, to help to communicate the Word of God. But being bold, having boldness in your daily life doesn't mean being rude or speaking loud or shouting or arguing or debating with people or being obnoxious or self-righteous. Boldness in your daily lives, as the early Christians, as they received, was this divine strength and empowerment to speak the Word of God, to love people, to forgive enemies freely, without fear. Okay? They were fearless. They were courageous, with grace, with love, with generosity, with sincerity, with convictions. You know, they speak the Word of God with freedom, and they were not bound in fear, intimidation, and terror. You know, that was a divine boldness. A divine boldness was not concerned with man's reaction, okay, man's opinion, or with threats, or with harm. They rely on the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They root themselves in the Word of God, and they receive the wisdom from above to understand and to discern their situation and the people they speak to, and to bring forth wisdom of God, love and grace and blessings. God is looking for a great church with great boldness by His Spirit. Okay. So the apostles and disciples were given boldness to continue doing the work of God that Jesus called them to do, and also calling the church today to do. And we need that great boldness too. And last but not least, the early church, the church in Acts, they had great unity. And the last part of the phrase, of the sentence, after they pray, after the praise was shaken with the presence of God, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke, and they speak the Word of God boldly, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Unity. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be unity in the body. Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 3, to say, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That means unity in Christ is a gift, spiritual gift, already given to every believer. All our effort, all we want to do, is to keep the peace, keep that unity that's inside of us in our midst. Where the Holy Spirit is present in grace and power, there will be divine unity. Okay. By the spiritual new birth, he bring us be united with him and united with our brothers and sisters. And our effort and our responsibility is to maintain that unity in our midst. Because for many people from many different backgrounds, speaking different languages, with different personalities, and color skin, and like and dislike and situation, and if we can live in one accord, in unity, in love, and acceptance, and encouragement, that is a wonder in this world. Right? Look at this world. Everywhere is divided. People are fighting against each other, even in the same country or on the same street. So if people in a church, if believers that come from different backgrounds with different like and dislike and different personalities, situation, they are united in one body and live in love and grace, that is definitely a work of God. Okay? So how? No one can claim. Now, in the scripture it said, how do they live together in peace and unity? It said, nobody claimed that any of the possessions was their own, but they share everything they had. Now, the main thing here is not that you bring everything from your home, from your closet, here to lay it out for free garage sale or something like that. Free, no. But no, the point is, they not only love God, but they express the love of God by loving and taking care and looking out for one another. Okay? That's the kind of church that has the greatness. Okay? Selfishness, self-centeredness, self-agendas were not accepted in the early church, in the company of the believers in the early church. And nor should they be accepted in the church today. As the people of God, as people of Christ, of the gospel, we should follow the love and the selflessness of our Lord. Follow his example, who gave himself for the sake of others. Okay. And lastly, let me finish with this one last point, that they had great grace. And great grace was upon them all. A great church has great grace. Okay? Full of grace. Okay? Another translation read this as the divine help was given to them all abundantly. God's wonderful favor, called grace, was upon every believer in Christ, everyone who is saved by the work of Christ. The word grace being used in this passage refers to God's work operating in and through us, okay, blessing others without receiving any result or merit. So it's not our effort that deserves the grace of God. So in the early church, the gift of the Holy Spirit were gifts of grace and love. Okay, so through believers, people around in the community, they receive generosity, receive seniority, they receive blessings, acceptance, caring, love, okay, freely. That's the grace of God. So, now let's not think this grace is only, I love this church one thing. Oftentimes in a community, there are people that really need money, food. You know, there was a stranger stopped by our church and asked the church to help him with gasoline money. Of course, normal people would just, oh, is this a scam? Let me check it out. You know? So I talked to him, I walked to his car, and I heard his story, you know, came from far away, Halifax, from the east, and here thought he had a job, and then after just a day and a half, he was being laid off. You know, he didn't even get paid for his gasoline. So I said, okay, I'll try to get help for you. You know, there was no one in the church, okay, that day. So I gave him my own pocket, some money. And later when I talked to the elders, they said, oh, you can claim it. You can claim the money because we do have a love fund in place to help people who are needy. So I said, wow, that's wonderful. There's not too many churches that the pastor can claim money given out to needy without receipt, you know. There was a church that asked for receipt of one of my colleagues because he did the same kind of thing. And he said, how could I find a receipt from a man who doesn't have anything? great grace. I think our church exercises that. But do we, does every one of us exercise that grace in our lives to build up one another? In conclusion, surely the need of this day is to analyze, to consider carefully the great things that this great early church in Acts had and apply them to our situation. Because as a church, there's something we're not yet able to do. Okay? We are unlike other churches, we don't have big facilities, abundant tons of programs, okay, or bestseller authors in a pulpit. Okay? There were a few, but not me. Right? But I tell you what we need to have. We need to have the ability to encourage one another, right? To love one another and to lift up one another. And to spread these blessings and love to all people in the name of Christ, okay, about God. To teach them the simple truth of God's promises. Okay? That's what makes a great church. So on one hand, I congratulate you and everybody in this church, what we, by the grace of God, been able to do. We send short-term mission team, we help the needy, we go to our senior homes and feed the old people who cannot feed themselves. But yet, on the other hand, there are a lot of things we're not yet able to do. That's why we need to seek the face of God. Amen? We need to pray fervently. We need to kneel and pray, and we ask the infilling of the Holy Spirit every day in our lives. Every morning, do you pray to God, Lord, I submit my day to you. By telling you, acknowledging your presence, and I give you my submission. May the Holy Spirit guide me, lead me, whatever God you direct me to do, to glorify you, I will do. If you start your day with such a prayer, I guarantee you, supernatural, wonderful things will happen in that day. Because God desired the most for every one of us to experience his powerful presence in our life, to experience the answered prayers, okay, of blessing others with the great grace of God in our lives, and to make this world a better place than ever. So let's pray now. Dear Lord God, I thank you for brothers and sisters in this church. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful freedom to hear and to study it. Oh Lord, help us to begin that kind of church you like to use. Help us to know that our church is accountable to you. Help us to be faithful and to communicate, not only by words, but by our examples, by our daily living, the gospel of Christ. Help us to refuse to cater to our own selfishness or to people's selfishness. Help us to keep always focus, to help us enable people to finish well with your divine task. Enable us, we pray. Father, I just thank you for your love for our brothers and sisters here. I know you have a wonderful plan in each and every one of their lives. And you have a wonderful plan for this congregation to be able to be used by you in a way that we would awe and feel awesome, Lord. Well, I just pray, Lord, that from this day on, as we walk out of this church building, we will root ourselves in your word daily, and we will kneel before you even before we start our day. Oh, Lord, forgive us as we so self-deceiving ourselves that we can accomplish things in our own efforts, by our own strength. Oh, Lord God, may you so answer our prayers and to fill every heart in this sanctuary, Lord, every day, that we'll walk in the Spirit and that we'll become your witnesses, powerful witnesses, in this needy world. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for the message and for this opportunity we can seek your face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.